Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
And so what I have found is music is has a special place in my heart. Not everybody is necessarily musical, but we can all make a joyful noise. Amen? You know what? And I'm all for the car choir. I'm all for, you know, if you're in your car and you have your music, you just go and you sing. If you ever come up to a stoplight behind me and you see me really into something, I'm usually trying to deal with something. And a lot of times the way I do it is through music. Sometimes it's just through being still. But music for me is very special. And so if you would allow me the indulgence today of trying to minister 3 points to you. I know 3 points, you guys just kind of laugh at me about that. 3 things that I think about and some songs that are very special to me that help me remember these truths, because I think that we forget them. And the first one comes to us from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. We read, Paul writes, Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. There you go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Let's all read verse 12 together. Ready? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Here's how I'm afraid too many Christians live their lives. They put a period too early in the sentence. They say, for we do not wrestle, period. Okay? For we do not wrestle. No, that's not what we should. We have to understand, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities, of this present age. In other words, there are some forces of darkness that are at work, okay? And so I remember when my parents, from time to time as a child, my dad would take me to church for certain things, I remember hearing this song a lot when we would go to the little church that we did in Jacksonville. We would hear this. Maybe some of you remember the song. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus. Nobody knows that song. Going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Okay, so this was a song that was very, very popular, and then all of a sudden you realize it's not sung much anymore. And I actually kind of did some research, and it turns out that in many churches in America, in many religious traditions and Christian traditions, there was an intentional effort to stop singing songs like this because it is too militant. Chase, here my point. I am a soldier. And you are a soldier. And if you think that being part of the body of Christ means that you're not a soldier, you have bought into the lie. Our wrestle is we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we are supposed to wrestle. We're supposed to wrestle against these powers of darkness. We're supposed to wrestle against authorities and rulers and these powers of this present age. In other words, there are demonic forces at work. You can feel it. Have you ever gotten a phone call or had an interaction with somebody and you leave it and you feel so unnerved that peace has left you, and you're thinking, this is more than just that statement. This is more than just that interaction. The devil uses people. I want to tell you that. If you don't know, and sometimes we even just wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes I wake up on the wrong side of the county. I feel like I wake up on the wrong side of the continent or the hemisphere. And we have to speak to ourselves. Here's what I want you to read, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6 with me. Ready? Let's all read this together. 1, 2, 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, period. Wait a minute, there's a comment there, but I want you to wait for a second. We take every thought, what, gang? To do what? Look, there are things that I'm not interested in doing that Christ would have me to do, amen? And there are some times that the powers of darkness, that these cosmic forces, I believe that they're demonic forces that are at work to try to pull us off of being used fully by God. And I think it's important that we remember when these times hit that we are soldiers. And that we are called to war, a spiritual war. And there are some days you just have to take your thoughts captive. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? There are some days we have to take thoughts captive. And that's why I love a friend of mine who's been here about a decade ago. You remember Jerry Williams? Nobody remembers Jerry Williams. Oh, well, he's a songwriter. He's an amazing songwriter. And he went through the Psalms and really just focused in on putting Psalms into words. And so, you know, if you come up to the stop sign and you see me just kind of letting loose, I'm probably talking to myself because I have to take thoughts captive. You know, when you try to always take the high road, it requires talking to yourself. You know what I mean? So let me share a message in Scripture. The weapons of a warfare are not of this world, they're powerful for tearing down the strongholds of hell. We do not war according to our flesh, we fight against all wickedness. We are the enemies of hell. Standing in the armor of our God, we are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And even though we face the power of death, we will not give in to the flesh. We are the warriors of God. Holy warriors, arise and storm the gates of hell. Stand fearless in the Savior. And fight the fight of faith, united in this evil day against the rulers of this world. We'll follow without hesitation, wear the helmet of salvation, holding up his holy word. We're soldiers of a different kind, we've chosen to give up our lives, we might live forevermore. We've been given the authority overcome the enemy through the name of Christ our Lord. Holy warriors, arise and storm the gates of hell. Stand fearless in the Savior's power. We will overcome, we'll conquer. Hell will not prevail. Oh, holy warriors, arise and storm.
saying that to myself sometimes. Sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm a soldier. When my emotions want to tell me I'm a victim, when things around me want to tell me that I'm powerless, when I feel alone, when I feel forsaken, I have to remind myself that I am a soldier. And though I walk in the flesh, I'm not waging war according to the flesh. David said it like this in Psalm 3. And Psalm 3 is amazing, and there's these in-between, these little stanzas. This is word Selah, which means you need to just rest, think about this, meditate on it, pause. He says this, and David, again, you know, there were times in his life he was trying to serve and follow God, and the people he was trying to serve, that he was called to serve, were even chasing him and pursuing him because of God's purpose on his life. Here's what David says in Psalm 3. Oh, Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Church, have you ever felt like that? Everyone's rising against me. What am I going to do? He says, many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Selah. Verse 3, it says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You see, I like that pause, because sometimes we look at the situations in our lives and we need to Selah for a minute. We need to remember who we are, that we are soldiers, and then we come back to God. You ever thrown yourself a pity party? Come on. Woe is me. I'm going to call the ambulance. I'm talking about how bad everything is. You need to Selah that stuff. You need to put your whining on hold. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I know this. I like to whine. I'm the biggest baby in the church. My wife will say amen to that, right? And there are times I have. Don't look over in this side of the room. The truth is, I have to hit pause. I have to hit that Selah and bring it back. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. How many of you have ever been in a time where you thought, this is it, and I'm not getting through it, and yet you're still here? Come on now. You thought, this one's more than I can handle. Lord, you're in it. You see, this mountain is too much for me, and yet you're still here. David goes on to say, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Don't forget those times, church family. Verse 6 of Psalm 3. I will not be afraid, for many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. How's that for a Bible verse to memorize? You break the teeth of the wicked. I've told you a lot of times, I used to live in Bloomington, and the Miller Park Zoo, there was a lion, and man, you'd hear that lion roar in the feeding time. You know, I always wanted to see the lion. That's the most important thing. But then he got up to it, and it was an old lion, and he didn't have teeth. He still sounded roar, but it was like, I don't have to worry about that. It's got a big bark, but not much bite. The enemy goes around prowling like a roaring lion. But our Lord and Savior has broken the teeth of the enemy. Amen. And so salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing are on all people. Church family, I want to admonish you. I want to encourage you. I want to remind you who you are. You are a soldier. The second thing I want you to know comes from James. I was drawn to James 4:4-10. I want you to know that we are holy. And it's hard for me to say it. Even when I read this, it's hard for me to say, I am holy. How many of you struggle with those words coming out of your mouth because we are imperfect? I want you to just say it. Just ready? Just say, I am holy. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right. We got an echo. But here's the deal. When I say I am holy, it's hard, isn't it? Isn't there something in there where it's like, I feel a little uncomfortable saying that? Well, here's the good news. We are not holy in our own righteousness. We are holy not because of how well we follow the law. We are holy because of how perfectly Jesus followed the law. And when we put our faith in him, he applies his blood and we are made righteous in his sight. That's the beauty of the gospel. We are holy. And now, because we're holy, the meaning of the word holy, we are set apart for something different. We are his. We can draw near to God. I always wrestled with the thought of drawing near to God because I was always convicted of my imperfections. But when I put my faith in Jesus, I can draw near to God with confidence. James 4 says, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it's no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I want you to know that we have this opportunity to draw near to God and he'll draw near to us. In John, it says that we love him because he loved us first, because he first loved us. Now, next week, one of my dear friends, you're going to be blessed next week. Roger Storms is going to be here. And you remember Roger Storms, who founded Compass Bible Church in Chandler, Arizona. He now works. He'll be here with his wife, Nancy. And Roger and I serve on a team together in Decatur. I'll be ministering next week in Decatur. Roger will be here. And then we're going to work together for a couple days in Decatur. And Roger brought this song to me. I didn't know this song prior to that. But and it was, of course, special to him because of, if you guys remember Roger in the passing of his son, Jeremy, this was Jeremy's, loved this song, Give Me Jesus. And so this song reminds me of that we can draw near to God. We can prioritize him, that we are set apart for something wonderful. Actually, the other thing about this song, if you research it, this is actually a mixing together of some African American spiritual songs with hymns, and so this song was written as kind of a bringing together, a bridging of those songs. And so I think about that as individuals who have been delivered from the slavery of sin. This is how we're delivered from the slavery of sin as we draw near to Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, you can have this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, yes, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Just think about that when you feel forsaken like David in the Psalms. He is there for you. He will never leave you and forsake you. So choose him. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Oh, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I come to die, Oh, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, you can have all this world. Oh, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Church family, you are holy. John says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, he says, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship in him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, dropping down, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we are embracing a lifestyle of holiness, that means we embrace a lifestyle of repentance. When we're saying, I am holy, we have to understand we need to repent. And repentance is something that I think is getting lost within the church. Repenting is not just confessing. This frustrates me to no end, is when I constantly confess a sin, but I don't repent from it. Repentance is more than confession. Confession is acknowledgement. Repentance is changing how I think about it. That word repent means to change your mind about something. And so in an understanding, just another Jerry Williams song about, I want us to continue to know that in our holiness, that means that we repent, we embrace going to God and telling him and changing our minds about sin, about displeasing God. If you return with all your heart, I promise you that I will not forsake you and leave you alone. I sing this song a lot when I recognize my sin and I'm broken about it. And if you fall down on your knees, let mercy be your only plea. I will forgive you, and in weakness you'll be strong. I'll take away the strongholds of your hurt and pain, and then rivers of joy will start to flow. And if you call out on my name, I promise you that on that day carry you to safety in my arms. Hallelujah, Lord. I'll cover you with blood. Break all the chains that bind. Through the holy blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for your blood. Thank you that it cleanses us. Thank you that you are faithful to forgive us. Thank you, God, that we can come to you in our brokenness. We can come to you in our desperation. And you're there. You never leave us and you never forsake us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus applied to our life. And church family, the last thing I want us to remember, because our time is just about done here, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. It's my heart that our church, that being part of our church family, is not just attending church, it's passionately going after God. And I think probably the thing that breaks me more than anything is wanting how to convey. When I write sermons, I'm not just at the end of every sermon, my desire is that if you're listening to that, that you're going to be drawn to want to run after God passionately. To not just warm a pew. We can get heaters for that. But to be the church, to live passionately. And I know for me, that means I have to prioritize God. And I love in the early morning hours and go walk the dogs and listen to my, go through my devotion and listen to some music. And then I sit in the porch for a few minutes and it's a precious time. And I have a cup of coffee. And my time with God in this stage of my life, there's very little talking and there's a whole lot of listening. And I think, yeah, if God's given us, you know, one mouth, but he's given us two ears, two eyes, and two nostrils, we ought to be on the receiving mode of God a whole lot more than the other. So it's not just 2-1. It's whatever those other all add up to, because I can't do that now. I'm not good at math. Here's a song about passionately seeking Christ. It's early. There's still not a sound coming from all the rooms and these walls. It's so good lingering here with you. But often in moments like these, I fall easy prey to my lazier ways and broken promises made to you. Don't let this burden hunger that's raging in my heart. Lord, don't let it fade or wander. Just keep me in the palm of your hand. Don't you want that, church? For so long, I've wanted to be much more than you've been able to see. But memories
they still have a hold on me. Please tell me, will I ever see beyond this fear that lingers in me? Is it true? Can I be more like you? Don't let this burden hunger that's raging in my heart. Don't let it fade or wander. Just keep me in the palm of your hand. Take my life in your hand. Change me inside, make me a man that's willing to die. Jesus, I wanna be more like you. So whatever it takes, I want to be the man that you called and want me to be. Holy man. It's early, there's still not a sound coming from all the rooms in these walls. It's so good lingering here with you.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.